A very happy Easter to all of you, your families, and your loved ones as we celebrate the great feast day of the Lord's resurrection today. I came across a story from Chicken Soup for the Christian Soul. Remember the Chicken Soup books? Wonderful stories. Well, this one is from Chicken Soup for the Christian Soul. An English school teacher was looking to move to Switzerland. So she flew there and visited the local schoolmaster to help her find an apartment that would be suitable. Such rooms were found, and she returned to London for her belongings. But then she remembered that she had not noticed a bathroom, or as she called it, a water closet. So she wrote to the schoolmaster and asked if there was a WC in or near the apartment. The schoolmaster, not knowing the English expression, was puzzled by the WC, never dreaming that she was talking about a bathroom. He finally sought advice from the parish priest. They concluded that she must mean a wayside chapel. The lady received the following letter in a couple of days. Dear Madam, the WC is located 9 miles from the house, in the heart of a beautiful grove of trees. It will seat 150 people at one time. And it's open Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. Some people bring their lunch and make the day of it. On Thursday, there is a concert. The acoustics are very good. The slightest sound can be heard by everyone. It may interest you to know that my daughter met her husband at the WC. We are now in the process of taking donations to purchase plush seats. We feel this is a long-felt need, as the present seats have holes in them. My wife, being rather delicate, hasn't been able to attend regularly. It has been 6 months since she last went. Naturally, it pains her not to be able to go more often. I will close now with the desire to accommodate you in every possible way, and will be happy to save you a seat, either down front or near the door, as you prefer. Sincerely yours, the schoolmaster. So the question is, I guess, for us today, do we make our faith in Christ and in the sacraments in the church just a wayside chapel that we go to a couple times a year? Or is Christ the very center of our life? Do we come to Mass every Sunday? Do we worship Him? Do we adore Him? Do we go to the sacraments? Do we go to regular confession? Are the children baptized and raised in the faith? So that's the question. Is Jesus and the church just a wayside chapel that we go to on occasion? Or is He the very center and source of our life? It is in the sacraments that we come into contact with the risen Lord. Baptism is where the power of Christ, risen from the dead, washes away the sins of the individual and makes them a son or daughter of God. Baptism, the word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizein, which means to be immersed and to come forward. It represents death to sin and rising to new life. So baptism is where we meet the risen Lord. He comes to us and takes away our sin in baptism. And then, of course, confession. When we go to confession, we again have contact with the risen Christ, who absolves us of our sins and takes away our sins. And then in the Holy Eucharist, we receive the risen Lord. As you know, the Jesus in the tabernacle, the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. It's the risen, resurrected Jesus under the appearances of bread and wine. And every Sunday, or in fact every day, the great miracle of transubstantiation takes place, where we come to Mass and the bread and wine is transformed into the risen Christ, the resurrected Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And we can come to receive Him and adore Him as often as we can. As you know, Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday, the first day of the week. That's why every Sunday is a mini Easter. And every Sunday we come to Mass, we become present at the Last Supper, the crucifixion, and the resurrection, all rolled into one. Time and space are pushed aside, and we get to receive our risen Lord who rose from the dead. And as you know, the resurrection was the greatest event in the history of the world, where Jesus, who had been dead for 3 days, was raised up. The physical resurrection of Christ from the dead, it was his greatest miracle. It was the proof of his divinity. See, Jesus claimed to be God. Read C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity. Either Christ, who said he was God, and he was, or if somebody claims to be God and they're not, they're a liar, or if they think they're God and they're not, they're a lunatic. So C.S. Lewis says, when it comes to Christ, he's either a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord. And of course, we know he is the Lord. He claimed to be God. He said things like, before Abraham was, I am. He said, the Father and I are one. No one can come to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus forgave sins. He raised the dead. Then he worked all these miracles to prove that what he said was true, to prove his divinity. He even said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, destroy this temple, which is his body, and in 3 days, he said, I will raise it up. He said, just as Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man will spend 3 days in the belly of the earth. And then he would come forth glorious and triumphant, raised from the dead. So the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our Christian faith. St. Paul even said that. If Christ is not raised from the dead, our preaching is in vain and we are still in our sins. Our faith is empty if Jesus is not raised from the dead. And we know for a historical fact that the tomb was empty on Easter morning. Nobody doubts that. The tomb was empty. And as you know, there's only two ways the tomb could have gotten empty. Either Jesus rose from the dead or somebody came and stole his body. So if you read C.S. Lewis, Peter Kreef, Bishop Sheen, Scott Hahn, you can read how logically, if the enemies had stolen the body and the apostles started saying Jesus is risen from the dead, what would they have done? They would have produced the dead body of Christ and Christianity would have ended 2,000 years ago. Why didn't they parade the dead body of Jesus through the streets of Jerusalem? Because they didn't have it. So if the enemies didn't steal the body, then would the friends, the apostles, have stolen the body? Let's look at that for just a moment logically. As you know, they were scared to death. None of them were at the foot of the cross except for John the Apostle. Every other one was hiding. They were scared to death. Even in the upper room, they were fearful. And they did not even expect or believe in the resurrection. Even though Jesus told them many times that when I rise again, I will meet you up in Galilee, or the Son of Man must be put to death, but then he will rise up. A good movie about the apostles would be called Clueless. Wouldn't that be a good name for a movie about them? Because Jesus tried to explain again and again that he was going to rise from the dead, but it just went right over their head. And then, of course, Pontius Pilate and the religious leaders put a Roman guard at the tomb. And these would be switched every 4 hours. 6 soldiers switched every 4 hours to keep them awake and fresh and alert. And then, of course, they sealed the tomb with the Roman seal. If anybody touched the Roman seal, they would be put to death. And, of course, stealing is a sin. Would the apostles really have stolen the body, committed a mortal sin of stealing, and then lied about it, the mortal sin of lying that Jesus was risen from the dead? Would they have really committed these serious sins of stealing and then lying that Jesus is risen from the dead when they knew they had the dead body of Jesus in the upper room? Of course not. They were Orthodox Jews. They followed the commandments. And then what did they get for proclaiming the resurrection? They got tortured, imprisoned, and put to death. St. Peter was crucified upside down. Andrew crucified on an X-shaped cross. James was thrown off the temple parapet. Others were killed by the sword. Others were beheaded. That's what they got for proclaiming the resurrection. See, it's hard to die for the truth, but would these apostles have died for a lie? Highly unlikely. And the only thing to explain the transformation of the apostles from being scared fishermen in the upper room to boldly proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus in front of kings and, and governors throughout the world was the fact that they had seen the resurrected Christ and he strengthened them. And they truly believed that Jesus was risen from the dead. He appeared to Peter, he appeared to the apostles, he appeared to Thomas, he appeared to 500 disciples after the resurrection. He stayed on earth for 40 days, showing that he was truly risen. He even ate fish with them. He allowed Thomas to touch his wounds. And then the conversion of St. Paul also helps to show us the truth of the resurrection. Because Paul's conversion was because he met the risen Lord. He was anti-Christian. Paul was persecuting the early church. And he was Saul of Tarsus until Jesus, a risen Lord, appeared to him and converted him. And St. Paul would become the greatest apostle and the greatest missionary in the history of the earth. So again, the only way to explain the transformation of the apostles and the transformation of St. Paul was that they had seen the risen Lord. And every Sunday, we too can experience meeting the risen Lord in the Holy Eucharist. And just one last recommendation, I would say, study the Shroud of Turin. I just gave a talk last Monday on the Shroud of Turin. And the Shroud of Turin is where faith meets science and is the most studied scientific artifact in the world. Over 600,000 hours of peer-reviewed study on the Shroud. Still, in the 21st century, science cannot reproduce the Shroud. The only explanation of how the image got there was the burst of light, heat, power, radiation, energy that came out in a flash of a millisecond, a nanosecond, at the moment of the Lord's resurrection. And this, in a sense, photographed this photographic negative, scorching this image, oxidizing the top linen fibrils of the cloth in just a millisecond, aging the oxidating the linen fibrils, producing this incredible image onto the Shroud. Go to the Shroud websites, any of them, or there's so many good ones out there. The Shroud Center of Southern California is amazing. So go on there, and I think that will help also help strengthen our faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So on this Easter Sunday, let's make sure we don't relegate Christ, our Lord and Savior, and his church to some wayside chapel, but make Christ the very source and center of our daily life.